Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Royal Blue Podcast. I'm your host today, Sam Carroll, joined by Adam Jones, Chris Beasley, and Dave Prentice, as we chew the fat, as Phil Kirkbride has copyrighted, on all the big Everton talking points this week. Adam, a week off. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Tired. didn't do a lot of resting on my week off, unfortunately, but back for some big Everton news.
When you went off, did you feel like Everton would have a manager installed by the time you came back?
No, I don't miss big Everton stories like that. So I was half convinced that they were going to wait until I was back from my week off. So that seems to be the case. Thank you.
Well, we will be discussing the Everton new manager hunt, and in particular, Nuno Espirito Santo does seem to be the favourite for the position after leaving Wolves at the end of the season. But some big breaking news that came out shortly before we all sat down to record over Zoom is that Everton have got permission to go on site at their new stadium at Bramley Moor Dock and conduct some key tests that are important for the build in the future. And I think if you read Phil Kirkbride's exclusive story, it mentions going as far as to check for unexploded objects. It all seems very mysterious, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'd rather they got them out of the way now. To be honest, rather start building and then go, oops. But yeah, I think this just is an important day again, isn't it? And it feels like we've gone through a couple of months now with, you know, things being a little bit quiet on the stadium front. Obviously, we had planning permission through a couple of months ago, and it's all just been a case of, you know, trying to get the specific, you know, like marine licenses and just dotting the I's and crossing the T's on certain bits of the Liverpool Council. So it's really good to see Everton actually on site, and you know, it's not building work yet. Hopefully the plan is to still start construction work in the second half of this year. But while it's not building work, it is still important to get these surveys done. You know, I think they have done similar surveys in the past, but not for a little while. So it's good to get, you know, an update on, you know, the marine life, you know, what the bed of the dock is going to look like, and you know, just so that when they do finally move on and they move on to these construction works, it's going to be able to go as smoothly as possible. So yeah, it's really, really promising to see news like this, and it's just a nice little boost to start off the week, really, isn't it?
Preno, I think everyone appreciates that building a new stadium from scratch is a huge job, but even just reading Phil's tale today and understanding what's even going into it from this early stage, it's quite staggering the level of detail that Everton are going to.
Yeah, we've said this before, haven't we? I mean, it's just incredible, you know, sort of how meticulous the football club have been in all their planning for this. And I know this isn't like massive news. It's not like a JCB moving onto the site or the symbolic spade going into the ground. But it is sign that, you know, things are happening, you know, so that the project is moving forward. And the longer you go where nothing happens, you know how nervous, you know, sort of all Evertonians can be about this project, that, you know, so people do get a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned. So, yeah, the fact that something is actually physically happening, the fact that some kind of tests are taking place is heartening, it is reassuring. And it does underline, yeah, you know, sort of the level of detail Everton have had to undertake. I mean, it's such a huge project. They've talked about actually transporting marine life as well, haven't they, from the dock into another area before they actually start to fill in the dock, which needs to be done before they can even start building. So it's a logistical, not nightmare, that's the wrong word. It's a hugely complex operation. And this is just the start of it. But it is the start, and the fact that we're actually seeing things happening and we're seeing a little bit of activity is good news. And let's face it, we need some good news at the moment as Blues fans, don't we? Because we've not had a good few weeks so far.
Bees, there was a story that Phil wrote a few months ago that when the new stadium does come up, that there could even be water taxis created to get to Bramley Moor. Can you see yourself a water taxi man?
Well, I won't be swimming over, that's for sure. It's heartening that so much detail has gone into this project, and the sort of that nervousness that Dave spoke about goes back to maybe people of the older generation now, like the likes of myself and Dave, who remember the failed projects of the past, notably the other waterfront project that Everton had with King's Dock at the start of the 21st century. Given all the upset that came with that not coming to the fore after, you know, a time that seemed that that was going to happen, I think, yeah, everyone is rightly apprehensive until they actually see that that tangible change to the actual landscape. Just to fill everybody in about this, obviously as colleagues we don't get to see each other too often during lockdown, but Sam made a visit over to ours in New Brighton at the weekend, and you know, he was taken about the fact that, you know, you can see all of the Liverpool waterfront, not just Goodison and Anfield, but that site where new stadium is supposed to be at Bramley Moor Dock. So for the likes of myself doing my morning jog in New Brighton, you know, the thought of seeing that skyline change, that iconic skyline, and the actual stadium go up, that'd be heartening to see. But before that happens, these initial checks have got to be made. And it is reassuring that Everton almost haven't let anything go this time. You know, they've learned from those mistakes at the past and been absolutely meticulous this time around to make sure this one really, you know, they get it right, and it's hopefully well worth waiting for.
It will be a wait as well, won't it, Bees? I remember reading, and if you're listening, you haven't read it, really good piece that you did a few months back about the new stadium search, I think, dates back, what is it, about 50 years in terms of all the other options?
Yeah, that first mooted, yeah. Yeah, it goes back. It was back in the 60s. Sort of, I mean, it was very sort of speculative talk, but yeah, you know, and it was mentioned, I think, around the time of the 66 World Cup, when at the time Goodison Park was the premier club ground in the country. It was obviously used for a World Cup semi final, controversially, switched as well at the last minute from it would have been England semi final. It got changed, which didn't go well down at all. But yeah, so at a time when Goodison was the best club ground in the country, they were already talking about the prospect of a new stadium, a shared venue with Liverpool. That never got off the ground, but it's been seriously mooted now for a generation now. I remember under Peter Johnson it was first proposed, the mid-1990s, when an unspecified venue, would it have been Kirby, would it have been Cronton, we don't know. The Johnson Dome was never built, and like I said, various other projects, be that the King's Dock, which was a real sort of sore point with Evertonians, and then less loved kind of proposals like Destination Kirby. So, you know, the fans have been through the mill with this for a quarter of a century now, at least seriously. And to be fair, they've always, as much as Goodison is so loved, they've always given their approval to any stadium move. And we're almost at the point now where we can actually see things starting. Like I said, it would be heartening before the end of the year to actually see some construction work done. But yeah, if these last few tests need to be done first, because, yeah, like say, filling in a dock is a major project in itself.
Well, we hope that the next man to be appointed Everton manager will still be here by the time Bramley Moor comes along. It feels so long now, doesn't it, Adam, since we've had long-term stability. You've had a week off, and it's been 10 days since the famous Everton Manager Bingo podcast.
Yeah, famous.
Nuno, at this stage, we know Everton have held talk for him. He seems to be the overwhelming favourite at this stage. There doesn't really seem to be another name in the frame at this point. Where are you up to on? Are you warming to it? Are you pleased by it?
I think it all depends on the circumstances of his appointment, doesn't it? Because, you know, I think the point that a lot of Everton fans were making as soon as Carlo Ancelotti departed was that, you know, they wanted Marcel Brands to have quite the influence on choosing the next manager, because at the end of the day, he's the director of football, so he should direct the football, essentially, you know, and that should include and encompass choosing the new manager. You know, he didn't really get the choice over Marco Silva. You know, he was already pretty much through the door by the time that Marcel Brands was coming in. He didn't really have a choice on Carlo Ancelotti either, you'd have to say, because, you know, when Carlo Ancelotti becomes available, you just go for it, don't you? So this would have been the first real time, I would have suggested, that Marcel Brands would have been able to actually sit down himself and go through a list of candidates and come up with a shortlist that he thinks will be able to take Everton forward. And if it's the case that he has done that and Nuno was on that list, and, you know, it's been agreed with the rest of the board that Nuno is the way to go forward, then I think, yeah, that does make a lot of sense, and I would warm to it in that sense. If it is more of a case of, you know, Farhad Moshiri taking over the managerial search again, and Nuno is Farhad Moshiri's man, then I'd have a few more doubts and questions about it, to be honest, because, you know, why would you give Marcel Brands a new 3-year contract if you're just going to do that? So I do think it just depends on, you know, how Everton will potentially come to this decision if Nuno is the man to be appointed. As you say, he seems the overwhelming firm favourite, doesn't he? So, you know, he's done really well for Valencia and Porto in the past, playing a little bit of a different style of football than he did at Wolves, especially, you know, last season at Wolves. It was a bit different. And I don't want to just judge him on last season at Wolves, because obviously there were extenuating circumstances in terms of the amount of injuries that Wolves had to key players throughout that season. So I think it's maybe a little bit harsh to judge him on just that last season at Wolves. But he's done a really good job at Wolves in the past, done a really good job at Porto and Valencia in the past as well. So he's obviously a very qualified manager. So there's no doubt in my mind that he can come in and be a very qualified manager at Everton again. It's just that, you know, you do understand that with some fans, it does seem a little bit underwhelming, doesn't it? And, you know, I think any manager would have suffered that to, you know, follow Carlo Ancelotti at Goodison Park. It's always going to be an underwhelming appointment to come next. So if Nuno is to be the man, then there's no doubt that Everton fans will absolutely be behind him. He'll have a really important summer transfer window in front of him, as we've said, for the last few years. But he's got, as I say, a really important summer in front of him to try and get in the players that he desires to play this, you know, sort of counter-attacking football. Is he going to bring that five at the back to Everton? I'd have me questions about that after seeing a few managers in the past try and play five at the back at Everton. But there will obviously be a few questions there, but I think any manager is going to face that. So, yeah, I think if Nuno comes in, he does have a wealth of experience behind him. So I think the positives that we can focus on are certainly there.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Preno, has Adam talked you into Nuno being a positive appointment there, or is he yet to grow on you in a similar vein?
No, I mean, the one word that I would repeat that, you know, so that Adam used there, which I've been repeating to everybody I've spoken to about this, is underwhelming. And, you know, I'm being 100% honest about this. To me, it's quite reminiscent of a Marco Silva appointment, not just his nationality, but the fact that, you know, so he's come from a club with, you know, so lower expectations than Everton, and he's done quite well there. I mean, the supporters at Wolves have spoken very, very positively about him. And again, you know, so what Adam said about last season being an odd season for him, because, you know, they were absolutely wrecked with injuries throughout the campaign, is probably why they suffered where they did. But, you know, Wolves sacked him, you know, so they got shut of him. So, you know, it's a, I don't know. I mean, following Carlo Ancelotti is such a tough ask anyway. He is like one of the few managers that managed to unite the Everton fan base totally. You know, so even though he had a dreadful second half to the season, everybody was fully behind him. You know, so everybody still wanted him to succeed. But Everton fans are resilient. And I suppose the one positive you can say about you know, Nuno's appointment, should it be Nuno, is that he won't be overburdened by the weight of expectation. Because, you know, Everton fans, you know, so aren't really expecting huge amounts from him. But I've done like everybody else has done. I've looked at his, you know, sort of his career pre-Wolves. And, you know, he did have, you know, good experiences at Valencia and at Porto. He is a manager with his own identity, with his own, you know, sort of belief in what he wants to introduce. I suppose the key thing for me really is what he changes around the football ground. If he does come in, notably the backroom staff, I mean, is that why things are taking so long now? Are they trying to find the right role for Duncan Ferguson? I mean, a lot of Everton fans, or a number of Everton fans, were quite keen for Duncan to get the job, you know, permanently following his successful, very, very short spell as a caretaker boss last year. And having had a much lesser role in the past under different managers, he was elevated to assistant manager under Carlo Ancelotti and flourished, so much so that there were, I don't know quite how, you know, accurate these stories are, but suggestions that he was actually offered the opportunity to go to Madrid with Ancelotti and be part of his backroom team there, but he chose not to. You know, he chose to stay at Goodison Park. So obviously he will need, you know, or you would imagine, you know, the hierarchy would want him to have an influential role at the football club. So maybe discussions are taking place with Nuno as to exactly what that role could be. Does he just want to bring in, you know, a new broom sweeps clean, bring in his entirely new backroom staff? I mean, that was, but led to believe why the negotiations broke down with Crystal Palace, A, because of you know, the money he was demanding, but B, because he wanted, you know, so many members of his backroom staff to come with him. So there's still a lot to be discussed by the sound of it, and a lot of unanswered questions, you know, to be answered. So I don't know. I mean, we will get behind him, you know, so we will support him. Of course we will. You know, we want him to succeed. And this is all qualifying the fact that if it is going to be Nuno Espirito Santo, because we've had no confirmation from anybody at the football club yet, but the fact that nobody's come out and actually, you know, denied it or told us that, you know, he's not in the frame makes you think that, you know, they are inching closer towards that. But I don't know. You know, I need to see a little bit more to be convinced that, you know, so it is the right appointment. Bottom line is, we weren't expecting this. Nobody at the football club was expecting this. We were planning for a second full season of Carlo Ancelotti, and the rug was pulled from under us quite spectacularly. So, you know, if Nuno Espirito Santo is unveiled as the Everton manager, we will be fully behind him. We will support him as much as possible. And, you know, hopefully, unburdened by a weight of expectation, he can be the success that we want him to be.
Bees, one of the things I've been thinking about, I don't know where you stand on this, if Nuno Espirito Santo hadn't decided to leave Wolves and was still the Wolves manager, do you think Everton would have went out and got him and paid the compensation for him, or does this just more feel maybe one of the reasons why, you know, Adam and Dave have both used that word underwhelming, and I think so many people are using that word. Does it just more feel a little bit like a marriage of convenience at this stage that he's available and we can get him, and maybe, you know, the relationship with Jorge Mendes, you know, same agent as James Rodriguez, is there just enough kind of dominoes falling in line to convince Farhad Moshiri that he is the right man?
Yeah, the Mendes factor could well play a significant part. I mean, I was reading up on Nuno over the weekend. We discussed this. I believe that Nuno was his very first client when he first started out as an agent back in the 1990s when he was a Porto nightclub owner, apparently. So, that's a relationship that goes back a while, and one that might work in Everton's favour if Nuno is to come in. I mean, even getting a sacked manager doesn't stop Everton from having to shell out in compensation sometimes. We saw that with Marco Silva, didn't we? They were still had to agree a compensation package, even though he'd been let go by Watford several months earlier. To be fair to Everton, like as Dave said, they had the rug pulled from underneath them there. Everyone wanted Carlo Ancelotti to stay, and we're hoping, you know, we'd be good to his word that he was talking about wanting to still be in charge by the time they did move to the new stadium. Ultimately, in his career, Ancelotti, other than his spell at Milan, where he'd obviously enjoyed the most success as a player as well, he's only ever spent a couple of years at every club, and it's proven the same at Everton, where they desperately need that sort of continuity, whether it's Nuno or whoever. They need somebody now to have some staying power and to last a bit longer. So to be fair to Everton, I don't think, even though you'd think having to change a manager during the summer and at the start of the summer as well would actually be the best time to ever change a manager rather than a couple of the mid-season reappointments they've had to make in recent seasons. There's not a great deal out there. I remember going back to when David Moyes was appointed, he seemed like the natural choice. He was the young up-and-coming manager in English football at the time. And I don't think there's a sort of an equivalent of that. I when Ancelotti went, I thought, I did a piece, I thought Everton, the Everton job is generally the job for a younger man. All of Everton's trophy-winning managers have been in their 40s or younger. And perhaps the way it finished for Ancelotti showed that you do need somebody with fresh ideas and someone with a bit of energy to take the club forward. So there didn't seem to be a David Moyes equivalent that we were looking for a couple of decades on. So who do you look to? And Nuno, in many ways, although he doesn't seem overly exciting, seems to be the safe choice, doesn't he? I mean, I don't know if some of those crazy names that sort of came into the mix in last week, after those, you almost feel, well, at least you've got, you know, a safe pair of hands with Nuno, with some of those strange. I mean, some of them, like obviously Pellegrini, had enjoyed success in the Premier League in the past, but, you know, he really struggled in his last job at West Ham, and David Moyes has sort of shown him up a bit there. But people like Fatih Terim from Turkey, I mean, hugely respected coach over there, but he's only had one spell of abroad over 20 years ago, 67 years of age, and you're thinking, where are these names coming from? Gaultier again, terrific success of late at Lille. Obviously, a number of great players have come out of there in recent seasons. I believe, again, with the language barrier, that'd be very difficult if he speaks next to no English at all. So there wasn't anyone obvious, and the sort of the reports we were getting from Phil sort of suggested that the candidates they were assessing weren't a muchness. So if it is comes down to that sort of close race like that, maybe Nuno was seen as, you know, the safe pair of hands, because they desperately need somebody, whoever it is, to be given time now. I mean, since Moshiri came into the club, Koeman, what was it, about 16 months, Allardyce, 6 months, Silva, Ancelotti, 18 months each. I mean, even Martinez didn't do the 3 full seasons because he sacked him game before the end, didn't he? So since Moyes left 8 years ago, I've not had anyone done 3 years. And they're moving to the new stadium, hopefully, in 3 seasons' time. So they desperately need that continuity and somebody to have that stadium power to go in there.
It is interesting, isn't it, Adam? Because for me and you growing up, we only knew David Moyes. I can very, very, very... I remember seeing that Walter Smith had got sacked on Teletext. Remember Teletext, what a time that was. And as Bees points out, since then, no one has really lasted the distance. But I mean, Ancelotti, as Dave said, was so unexpected, and, you know, in some ways quite unlucky that, you know, a manager who publicly was kind of saying he was enjoying himself and he was here for the long term leave. But what do Everton need to do to get the kind of to be in a position where a manager can thrive over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, because it feels like that's what is needed, especially with Marcel Brands and his role to really build, you know, this weird project keeps getting used, but we're not giving anyone enough time, or they're not giving us enough time to do that.
But that's where I think Marcel Brands becomes really important, doesn't he? Because I think this was a really good time for Everton. You know, obviously, it would have been a lot easier if Carlo Ancelotti had stayed, and Everton could have seen out the project that they had laid out in front of them with Brands and Ancelotti at the helm. But this was a really good chance for Brands to then choose Everton's identity going forward. You know, this was an opportunity for Everton to not just look into the short term and say, we need to be looking into this summer and who's going to sign these players for us, blah, blah, blah. They needed to be looking 5 years into the future. What do we want our identity to be 5 years in the future? You know, what kind of system do we want the team to be playing? Not just the first team, but under 23s, under 18s, throughout the club. We want to have one surely similar identity that's going to run throughout the club. And that's going to take years to try and implement. But a coach, a first team coach, is obviously imperative to that. So I think that's where the importance of Marcel Brands should have really come in. And I think that's where the confusion's coming with Nuno at the minute, isn't it? Because I think there's a bit of lack of communication coming from the club, certainly. And over the last couple of weeks, it's just been very very, very quiet and very distant, hasn't it? We don't really know what kind of direction Everton are going to be going in the immediate future or in the long-term future. We don't know what sort of strategy Everton are going to be playing. We don't know who's chosen Nuno to be the manager, whether that's going to be Brands, Mashiri, a combination of the both, somebody else in the club. It could really have come from anywhere, and I think that's where a certain amount of the confusion for Everton fans is probably coming from, because I think Bees is absolutely right. We do need that kind of continuity and longevity from a manager, and it's probably an exemplary of a modern football recently that we haven't been able to do that over the last few years. But modern football is very much chop and change and et cetera, and Everton have just fallen into that bracket. I don't think we've spent our money very well since Farhad Mashiri's come in general, to be honest. And I think that's probably played a factor as well. You've always had these managers being labelled with, they've always been big spending, but have you really spent the money in the right places, sort of thing? So we just need some sort of coherent strategy for the next, I wouldn't even say for the next season, for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons. And I hope that if Nuno is chosen, then Nuno is the man who can lead that strategy into the future, because that's what Everton needs. Because you can't be having another manager coming for 18 months and then, that takes you, 18 months until the opening of a new stadium. It just, when we need to really have European football by the time we move into Bramley Moor, you just can't afford to be, I don't want to say wasting 18 months, but yeah. if we were to get 18 months down the line and the next manager leaves, it does feel like another waste of an 18 months, doesn't it? So, yeah, this needs to be absolutely a long-term appointment. If Nuno is the man that they've decided on, let's hope that he can be that long-term appointment, because it's desperately needed right now.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
If Nuno is the man, Preno, then, as we've mentioned earlier, he does share an agent with James Rodriguez, who spoke out over the weekend about his Everton future and said that he doesn't think Carlo Ancelotti will take him to Real Madrid for a second time. He thinks the cycle at Real Madrid is over, and he said he's fine to remain at Everton for another season. Not exactly a glowing endorsement of his happiness at the club, I suppose. But where do you stand on James? Can you see a man who isn't Carlo Ancelotti getting the best out of him at Everton? And do you still think he'll be an Everton player come the start of the season?
I hope so. They were strange, those quotes, weren't they? Initially, I was quite heartened by what he had to say, because I immediately presumed that, Carlo Ancelotti's exit would also signal his exit. But no, he seemed... I know things can be lost in translation, and I know... the actual translation, what was it? If I stay another year, that's fine, wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement. And it makes it almost sound like he's doing us a little bit of a favour, which wound me up a little bit. But equally, I'll accept the fact that these things can lose a little bit in translation. And he's an absolute, class act of a footballer. And Everton fans haven't had the opportunity yet to see him in the flesh, or not many have. And actually, in fact, I don't think any have they?
No,
I think
it
was injured when they had 2,500 in the stadium. So no, they actually physically haven't clapped eyes on him yet. He's such a good, gifted footballer. And despite what other media pundits may say elsewhere, I thought his first season at Everton was a qualified success. The injuries were a big frustration. But equally, when he did play and when he was available, which was more than some people think, he had an influence on the game. He scored some very, very important goals. He created some important goals. His set-piece deliveries were outstanding. His vision was outstanding. He's just a wonderful, gorgeous footballer to watch. And if next season isn't going to be a season where we're going to be, sort of chasing for the top four or, sort of maybe winning trophies, at least let's try and produce some entertaining football and, sort of give fans something worth watching. And he can do that. So, yeah, I was quite heartened to hear him commit his future, albeit, just for one more season at Everton. And I'm quite pleased as well. He's missing the Copa America in a very selfish way, because it means that he could come back, so absolutely 100%, so fit and raring to go then. So, let's just see him out on the pitch. Let's see him with a 40,000 crowd in there, should we be allowed to do that. And I think that'll make a big difference. Because I've said this before, you know, it's the old, and maybe I'm being a little bit overly romantic here, but the old once Everton has touched you, nothing's the same vibe. And Carlo Ancelotti never got touched by Everton because he never really had the opportunity to play regularly in front of a packed Goodison Park. He didn't know quite, you know, so what the fans could do there. He spent his entire life in Crosby, you know, so living in lockdown, basically. Likewise, James Rodriguez. I mean, the only fan interaction he's had so far is a bottle of Echo Falls being passed him outside the Royal Oak. So I think once he gets out there and the fans actually can transmit to him how much they appreciate a footballer of his quality and his talent, strange things can happen. I've had this conversation before about when Duncan Ferguson first came to Everton Football Club on loan, initial 3 months loan. And I remember talking to him in a hotel down on the south coast of Portsmouth and saying, hey, do you think you'll stay beyond your 3 months loan? And his reaction was, I wouldn't have thought so. And you know, that was it. He saw it as a 3 month loan until he scored that goal against Liverpool, until he saw the reaction that the crowd had, until he realised that, wow, these people love me. You know, so there's something special going on here. And those kind of things can happen. I know it sounds a little bit over romantic, that, and, you know, so, you know, proper, I don't know, sanitised view of things, but strange things can happen, you know, so at Goodison Park when that crowd does get inside you and get to you. And who knows, you know, so if James does make a flying start to next season, you know, so if the fans do tell him how much they appreciate him and what a great player he is, who knows, you know, so maybe it could be longer than one season. We'll have to wait and see. But bottom line is, yeah, you know, I want him to stay at Everton Football Club and I hope he does, you know, so make a flying start to next season and we do get the opportunity to tell him, you know, so how much we appreciate having a footballer of his quality at Goodison Park.
And from thinking about James Rodriguez potentially leaving, but hopefully staying where Everton bees. There's also been a quite interesting rumour, I thought, at the weekend, suggesting that Everton could return for Nikola Vlasic, saying that they've been impressed with his progress since leaving Everton 2 years ago. He's in the Croatia squad for the Euros, and his agent kind of didn't rule out a return to Goodison Park as well. He was a kind of polarising figure, I thought, Vlasic, but I still think a lot of fans rated him during this time. Where would you stand on a return for Vlasic?
Well, I've not seen enough of him, you know, in Russia to sort of give a sort of educated appraisal of that. But I just remember from his first time round that Evan, it's almost like they didn't know where to play him really. What his best position was, you know, it was almost like, was he an old style inside forward, winger, a midfielder? What I mean, just where were you going to play him? He's only a young player starting out. It almost seems sort of, you could be flippant about this and say typical Everton scouting. They saw him play against them in a Europa League playoff for Hajduk Split and say, oh, we'll sign him. So that'd be typical. I'm not one of these people who say, oh, that's just like so Everton, that's just, but you know, to end up buying him back, presumably for a much bigger fee, I don't know. It wouldn't be great. I don't know just where he would fit in, because obviously Everton said, you know, before Ancelotti left, and you know, it remains the case, whoever is the manager, whether that's Nuno or whoever, they desperately need someone who can play right wing, and at the time they said they wanted, as a lot of wingers are now, you know, that inverted winger who cut inside on his left foot. Whether Vlasic fits the bill now, a couple of years down the line, I'm not sure. I'm more open to the idea of players coming back than managers. I'd say no, just don't do that if you're a manager. You know, there wasn't anything personal. Well, David Moyes, you know, proved when Howard came back twice, it got worse each time. So, I'd be more open to that. But I don't know just how he would fit into the Everton side, and given how he struggled first time round.
Adam, another two players we've been linked with as well, Denzel Dumfries and Mateus Nunes. I think I've pronounced that wrong, but not Nunes.
I was going to say, yeah.
But the rumours for them do seem quite strong, and the two players who would be in the age bracket that, you know, you would associate with Marcel Brands kind of leaning towards. Mm-hmm. It does seem, and fitting in kind of what you've said a little bit about Brands on the podcast today, is that it's quite heartening to think that Brands seems to maybe be putting together a short list of players who, when the new manager is appointed, he can say, maybe, you know, we're a little bit down the line on this player if you want him, or we've done our homework on this player. And because really, I think supporters would want to start seeing players coming into the club as soon as possible. Once that new manager gets appointed, you know, Liverpool have already signed a player this summer, and you want to get the ball rolling really on revitalising the squad, don't you?
100%. I think the worst thing that could possibly happen for a new manager to be coming into the club would be to be going from a stand and start, essentially, you know, in the middle of a tournament summer, especially when it's already so compact with so many of, you know, not even just Europe's quality players, but South America's quality players all the way on international duty. It becomes so much harder to try and negotiate transfers while they're off with their countries. So, you know, if it is the case that Marcel Brands has identified a couple of players that he thinks would improve the club, obviously, especially Denzel Dumfries is somebody he's going to know very well from his time at PSV. Apparently, he was, you know, very influential in bringing Denzel Dumfries to PSV. Sorry,
great name as well. One player called Denzel Dumfries.
Denzel is a great name, isn't it? And you know, I'm sure I was one of many Everton fans watching him very closely with the Netherlands taking on Ukraine last night, and I thought his performance was eye-catching, to say the least. He probably should have scored in the first half with that header at the back post from 5 yards out. I think I probably could have scored that, and I'm dreadful, to be honest. So I think he'll have been really disappointed with that, but he then did take his goal really well with that that clip ball into the back post, really got in front of his man well. And it was just really promising to see. I know he was playing as a wing-back, which, you know, would be very interesting considering, you know, if Nuno was to be appointed, would he be playing a five at the back with wing backs? I think Denzel Dumfries looked really, really competent as a wing back. I don't think we got to see a lot of his defensive attributes throughout the game. He was much more of an influence going forward, but you know, he was certainly an influence going forward. Yeah. He was involved in so many attacks. You know, obviously scored the goal, should have scored another goal. You know, made one key pass, completed a dribble. Won 8 headers over the course of the game, I think, as well. You know, it was a really, really promising performance from him. So, you know, if Marcel Brands is looking at players like that, and as you say, if he has got some way down the line, at least, then it's going to be a big help for any new manager that's coming in, isn't it? Because it would be the worst thing for a new manager to just come in, you know, mid-June as we are now. And, you know, players are coming back in pre-season in a few weeks' time. You know, he really needs as much time as he can to assess the players that he's got and to try and build a system. So if Marcel Brands has already got the ball rolling on the transfer side of things, then I think every little helps, in my opinion.
Well, lads, thank you very much for joining me. Hopefully next time we all speak Everton, have appointed a manager, and we will know the identity of who that will be and who will hopefully take Everton forward into that new stadium at Brandy Moor Dock and bring us the success that I think Everton fans deserve. Thank you for listening. You can check us out on the Royal Blue Podcast's Facebook page or get in touch on Twitter. You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.